Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, we'll talk about the cap workout and whether there were any winners after the Colin Kaepernick workout on Saturday. Also, Ross Tucker Football Podcast is going to join us. Ross is going to drop on by in about 37 minutes from now. Also, next hour, we'll discuss Angry Ned Flanders doing his thing yesterday in a comeback for the Vikings and the Ravens and their dominant win over the Texans. Also, if you want to catch me on TV today, I'll be on MLB Network coming up at approximately 4 o'clock this afternoon. Part of MLB Now. Always fun to drop by there. We'll talk a little hot stove MLB Network later on this afternoon. You can follow me on my social media channels for the updates of when that's going to be on and some behind the scenes there as well by hitting me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, follow me there, or on Instagram at Damon Amendo. The Patriots get a win, and this is a blue-collar, resourceful type win by the Pats. And it is such a big part of their identity and such a big part of their success. Belichick has proven over the course of his career that he is the single most flexible coach in NFL history. He might not be the best. I could see the argument for Vince Lombardi. I could see the argument for Chuck Knoll. I could see the argument for Bill Walsh. But I think what he proves beyond a shadow of a doubt is that he is the most flexible over the years. That the Patriots never have a formula. This is not who the Patriots are. This is not their identity. The only constants in Patriots land, don't beat yourself. And don't beat yourself. Let the other team beat themselves. We're not going to talk about them in the media. We're going to make every single week, like the next week and like the previous week, it's going to be consistent. It's going to be the same message every single week. It's going to be the same way that we do things every year forever. But how we get there is totally dependent on the opponent and our personnel. The Patriots have evolved from, in the early aughts, a great grand defense with a strong ground game and a game manager at quarterback to an explosive offense, a deep ball offense that didn't really have much of a threat of run, and a shaky defense to an intermediary passing attack with more of an emphasis on short timing passes. We've gone from deep wide receivers to tight end bunches. And now we are back to great defense, run the football. Every single week is a different chess match. And this happened yesterday. The Patriots win because they figure out ways to adjust and discombobulate Carson Wentz. Wentz doesn't have much time to throw. Doesn't have great weapons to throw to. The Eagles can't really move the football. And when push comes to shove, they utilize Julian Edelman to throw a crucial touchdown pass to put them ahead and eventually give them the win. Edelman, in the red zone, is throwing the football. And you might remember, broadcast brought this up a number of years ago, I think 5 years ago, in the playoffs against the Ravens, when, again, Edelman did wide receiver screen and then threw the football twice. Danny Amendola once got the touchdown, and that was the difference in making sure they beat the Ravens that day in the divisional round of the postseason. Incredibly resourceful. They will use whatever it takes at that given time to get the win, and then next week is not going to look anything like it. But Edelman's throw here and the Patriots' win here cannot mask that the offense is not good. The Pats' offense is not good. And how they are winning is always well coached, really good defense, crummy opponents. And this has happened week in, week out. Smash the Steelers early in the season when the Steelers were lost. Smash the Dolphins. Smash the Jets twice. Smashed Washington. Smashed the Giants. All of those teams' seasons have been over for weeks. I guess except the Steelers, because they've gone on a little bit of a run here, but again, a different Steelers team than they saw in week number one. They beat up on the Browns, and the Browns have been a hot mess. And they have a win now over the Eagles, and the Eagles are not going to make the playoffs more than likely. I mean, maybe they'll flirt around 9-7, and maybe they steal this division from the Cowboys, but I don't think that this Cowboys, I don't think that this Eagles team is very good. And the Patriots are 9-1 on the strength of they never lose games they're supposed to win. So chalk up the two wins against the Jets, chalk up the win against the Giants and Washington and the Browns and the Dolphins. They're supposed to win those games. They'll always do that. They've done that for 20 years. But I don't know how you can watch the Patriots and think that that's one of the four or five best teams in football. And I don't think they're the best team of the AFC. I think the Baltimore Ravens are so much better than the Patriots overall. Now, defensively, the Patriots are very strong. But how strong? I mean, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens carved them up. And what other good offense have they played this year? I mean, I really would love to see the Pats play in the NFC because there's so many more good teams. There's such a depth of quality teams in the NFC that 1 through 6, any of those teams can go to the Super Bowl. In the AFC, it's a weak year, and you know the Patriots will definitely benefit from that. But you know Brady is 42 years old, and there are days he looks like it, like yesterday. And after the game, a lot of the Boston media reported about just how downtrodden Brady was and felt. And this was after a win. You know, Brady knows his body is not allowing him to do the things that his mind can do. And it's showing. And the Patriots offense is really limited because of that. Now, do I think Brady has some great moments left in him? Of course. I would never say it's over for one of the greatest of all time. One of the greatest football players ever. I would never say this is it. It's over. He's going to just fall off a cliff. There will be moments. But by and large, over the course of 60 minutes of football against good teams, Brady is going to look like that yesterday more often than he doesn't. And hey, you know, this career has been amazing. This is not dancing on a grave. This has been an unbelievably wonderful career, but it's going to have to come to an end. And, you know, this year, them beating up on all these bad teams has camouflaged the fact that they're actually not a dominant team. They're a dominant team in this sphere against all these bad teams, but not against, you know, legitimate competition. And I think we're seeing that. The Ravens game, the Eagles game yesterday was a slog. I don't know about the Texans because the Texans are coached by Bill O'Brien, but that one's in Houston. The Cowboys, again, who knows? Jason Garrett, iffy. But they'll play the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs will be better at that point in time than they are now. But again, luckily, the Patriots wrap up with Bengals, Bills, Dolphins. So they're going to stack 13 wins here no matter what. And I think there's no doubt that they're either the 1 or the 2 seed. I don't know if the Ravens can catch them. Maybe they can. But they're either the 1 or the 2 seeds that they'll have a bye. I just don't think this Patriots offense has 3 games in it in the playoffs. I really don't. You know, And let's go back to the Super Bowl last year where the offense was terrible as well. I just don't think the Patriots have three wins in them in January with this offense. Now, is it possible they rework everything and in the playoffs they find a different way to do it? Absolutely. That's why Belichick is Belichick, and that's why the Patriots are the Patriots, because they can change. But they're kind of inherently limited because Brady's just not able to do what he once did. And this offense, shaky at times to the offensive line, inconsistent ground attack. You know, they're going to have to win games really low. They're going to have to win low-scoring games like yesterday. And to do that three times in the playoffs, I don't like their odds. I don't think we're going to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I think the Ravens are a good enough team to go to New England and win that game if it's the AFC title game. I think that the Chiefs, depending on where Mahomes is at that point of the season, could be good enough to go to Foxborough and score points. I mean, again, you're not going to have to outscore the Pats. You will have to score against their defense. But are we how confident are we that their defense is great and not just great against the really bad teams of the NFL? We'll get a little bit more information coming up here. Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs next 3 weeks. I just don't see how they're going to score enough to win a Super Bowl this year. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Tim tweets, DA, Tua has two hits against him. He's injury prone, plus he's an Alabama quarterback. Alabama QBs have never done as well in the NFL as they did in college. Tim, might I point you the direction of Hall of Famer Bart Starr, Hall of Famer Joe Namath, Hall of Famer Ken Stabler? I know those are a long time ago. I know we're talking about much more mediocre quarterbacks recently, but you can't throw Tua into the Jacob Coker, Blake Sims, A.J. McCarron conversation. Tua was so much better than those guys. Tua was a spread quarterback that could do it all. His touchdown to interception ratio is just absurd. And we saw what he did coming into the national championship game 2 years ago. He won the game. He won the game. That's unlike any of the other quarterbacks that have played over the last 25 years for Alabama. So I don't think that's a strike against him at all. When we come back here on the show, Colin Kaepernick and that workout. Were there any winners after the weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
1 minute, 30 seconds remaining. Minute remaining. Forty-five seconds remaining. Seconds remaining. Fifteen seconds. Break ends in 5 seconds.
CBS Sports Radio.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here and showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. an interview with any team at any time. I've been ready, I'm staying ready, and I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are.
Colin Kaepernick on Saturday. Sunday, the NFL on CBS, highlighted by a full afternoon of games, including an NFC South clash between Carolina and New Orleans, or the Raiders on the road against the Jets. It all starts with the JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, not Pacific, only on CBS. Full episodes also available on iTunes or radio.com or many other places that podcasts are available, Stitcher, etc. If you want to listen to the DA show on demand, whenever you want, wherever you want, you can listen to us and never miss a thing, never miss a beat, never miss an episode. The DA Show in podcast form. I warn you, this is going to be a very unique Colin Kaepernick segment. It's going to be very unique. You might not hear anything like this anywhere. So I want to warn you, it's going to catch you off guard because I'm not going to be emotional. I'm not going to scream. And I really don't have a villain in all of this, which is where Kaepernick resides, in this area where either he's the villain or you completely support him so you see the other side as the villain. I see this from both sides, and here's how I view it. Kaepernick and his team never felt as though this opportunity to work out was in good faith. And I think they were right in many ways. And when they got to Saturday, they pulled the switcheroo, and now they don't look like they were acting in good faith. And in some ways, I do think that they were being disingenuous. So here's what I mean. The NFL, I believe, knew that to save their own hide, they had to give Kaepernick a tryout. I think with all the injuries that happened across the NFL this year, specifically to quarterbacks, there were teams that were interested in kicking the tires on Kaepernick. But there was never a safe place to do that. If you suddenly bring in Kaepernick for a workout, it becomes a whole big deal. Media swarms there. Kaepernick then has the platform to perhaps speak out against the NFL. And the NFL might not be happy about that if you were a team. Let's just say, for giggles, that Washington, after their disaster of quarterbacks, said, you know what, we're interested in at least looking at Kaepernick to save our season. We're just going to bring him in. And then Kaepernick starts spouting off about the NFL, about the American government, about social injustice, and Goodell and the front office of the NFL goes crazy, and Jerry Jones and the owners, why would you do this? How could you do this? This is in our nation's capital. Then our president starts talking about it, and it becomes a whole thing. I think NFL teams that were interested were worried about what it meant to be interested. And so they went to the league office, said, hey, can we look at Kaepernick? And I think that Kaepernick's representatives knew there was at least a little bit of interest. So the NFL, having said we have not colluded against Kaepernick, said we got to save our own hide here legally, we got to give him a tryout. We got to give him a workout here. We can't keep everybody at bay. We can't say no. And we'll do it in a safe zone where, you know what, everybody's invited. And so then that takes the pressure off. Oh, my God, the Dolphins are looking at Colin Kaepernick. Or, oh, my God, the Bengals want Colin Kaepernick. It takes the pressure off of one team that brings him in for a workout. Power in numbers. With the CBA also coming up at the end of 2020, there's been a lot of chatter about them getting that deal done by February. So what's going to be, if they want to get this deal done, if the NFL wants to get the deal done, what could be one big sticking point? The NFLPA saying, you screwed over Colin. So how does the NFL give a safe zone to the handful of teams that were actually interested in at least just looking to see if Kaepernick was still good enough and avoid CBA fallout to get this new thing done in a couple of months? It was, let's just have a tryout for Colin, okay? Let's organize a tryout. But in doing so, the very best you can say about the NFL's ability to do this was it was haphazard and disorganized. They announced it on a Tuesday. They said it was going to come up on a Saturday.
Almost every NFL team's main evaluators are not around on a Saturday because they're out scouting a million other things college football-wise, or they're at the practice, they're at their own facility preparing for their games. And that was the first time that Kaepernick said, I mean, am I getting a fair shake here? You're putting me on a Saturday. The other thing that I actually think the Kaepernick camp is right in is that the NFL said no media. No media. And from an NFL standpoint, okay, you're saying we don't want the hysteria or the circus. But from a Kaepernick standpoint, you say, but that's the only people that can tell my side of the story without me relying on a league that I believe has colluded against me. So the Kaepernick distrust of the NFL, I think, is valid. Look, for 3 years, you prevented me from getting a job. Now I'm going to trust you to disseminate responsibly my footage? No, I need to make sure there's media out there. So the NFL, we had Amy Trask on the show on Friday. Now, Amy's about as congenial and down the middle and pleasant as can humanly be from an NFL standpoint and a former NFL executive. And she said, yeah, the way the trial's been organized has been ridiculous, that the NFL dropped the ball. So there is criticism on that side. And the NFL wanted him to sign a waiver that said, you know what? And if you don't get signed, it's not our fault. That waiver went to Kaepernick and his team on Wednesday. They waited until Saturday to make a show out of not signing it and then made a show out of moving the workout to a place that made it really hard for the people that already were there to go see him. They moved the workout 60 miles away. It wasn't that they took a high school that was across the street from the Falcons facility. It was 60 miles away, and they knew they were doing it because by the time the assembled media got there and the scouts, there was already a security team in place and Kaepernick's own film crew setting up over there. So they had heads up that it was going to happen. So what you had was Kaepernick at the 11th hour saying, I'm going to make a show about this. You watch. I'm going to say no to the NFL because they've screwed me over before. I'll screw them over, and I'm never going to do it to their facility. I'll do it to my facility. And when you do that, then you lose the upper hand of saying, oh, they didn't have it in good faith. Because now you've lost some credibility in how you handled it. And it was based on distrust, complete distrust. And when I watched this, I said, you know what? Nobody won here. Nobody won because if the NFL wanted to really just do this the right way, they would have said, okay, let's set up a date that everybody can go see Cap workout and let's work together with the Cap team to make it work for all parties, okay? So maybe we can allow specific media, right? Maybe there's five reporters allowed that we choose that we trust. Maybe NFL Network's allowed and Peter King's allowed and, you know, we can do that. We'll make sure that that tape is not disseminated only through our channels. But you've got to also, you know, we'll give you time to set up. And it just was broken from the jump. And this was a case of two exes that are still sniping at one another that are never going to get back together because there's too much water under the bridge. The NFL doesn't really want Cap back because they didn't do this properly. And Cap doesn't want to play by their rules. Because then that, in his mind probably, compromises his stature as a rebel, as a cause, as somebody fighting the establishment, anti-authority, counterculture, whatever it is that he is, he's not going to play by their rules. And I understand his distrust towards the NFL. I also understand the people that said, come on, Cap, you had a chance, and you had to make it your own spectacle. Now, does an eye validate going for another eye? In some people's mind, it does. I thought, though, that when all was said and done this weekend, that there were really no winners. Because this only widened the gap of the NFL doesn't trust Cap, and Cap doesn't trust the NFL. The people that were on Cap's side said he never got a fair shake, and the people that were anti-Cap said, see, he's not actually about playing football. So what really was the win there? I don't think there was one. And I know it's scary to talk about the Colin Kaepernick situation logically without emotion, just reading it as a situation and without getting all bent out of shape about politics and patriotism and social justice, because a lot of that is real and a lot of that affects people very deeply. But that's what's been missing about the whole Kaepernick situation. It's like you're either the villain or the hero here. And there's just too much of that. You can just read the situation for what it was, and unfortunately, not enough people can just disassociate from the anger they have to one side or the other. When we come back here on the show, Ross Tucker's going to join us. We'll ask Ross, after what we saw from the Ravens yesterday and a Patriots underwhelming win, who does he consider the best team of the AFC? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
DA, my man, how are you? First off, I just want to thank you, Mraz, The Body, Bogus, for being a big part of my work week, man, because you guys sure make the mornings fly by, and I appreciate that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. 38 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
We've got to do better, DA.
We appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday morning. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. How about Lamar Jackson doing more? Brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more flooring. Lamar, Lamarkable, the MVP frontrunner. 222 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, also rushed 9 times for 86 yards. The Ravens get the 41-7 blowout win over the Texans. Baltimore moves to 8-2, 6 straight wins, their longest winning streak since 2000 when they won the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, 19 touchdown passes, 5 INTs, and an incredible nearly 800 yards rushing. Joining us here on the show is the host of his new show, Home and Home, available on radio.com, the radio.com app. Our good friend, Ross Tucker. Ross, good morning.
DA, what's up, bro? It's been a while.
I know, man. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. It's NFL season, college season. I'm doing great.
I know. It's been a good football season already on both fronts. And yesterday, Lamar Jackson does it again against a pretty good team of the Houston Texans. And the Patriots don't look so good. Who do you think is the best team of the AFC?
Oh, it's the Ravens. And I started this last week. I do power rankings every Tuesday on my Ross Tucker Football podcast, also available on the radio.com app, by the way. And I had the Ravens number one last week. I always go by what I think would happen if these teams played like a 3 or a 5 or a 7 game series on a neutral site right now. And I have the Ravens as the best team in all of football, because the way they're playing and the way Lamar Jackson is playing right now, I just don't think there's anybody as good as them. And I'm not even sure it's close right now. I mean, think about that Patriots game. And look, the Bengals aren't a great team, but they only lost 17-10 on the road to a 6-4 Raiders team. The Ravens embarrassed them last week. And then the Ravens embarrassed the Texans yesterday. I mean, you don't see stuff like this in the NFL, do you? You know the deal with point spreads and stuff. I mean, the Ravens are blowing teams away right now. It is unbelievably impressive. And I got to tell you, it's funny because I do a college game every Saturday for CBS Sports Network. And so you talk to these D coordinators in these meetings, and especially if you're doing like a team that runs the quarterback a lot, the D coordinators, DA, are so flustered because there aren't a lot of really good answers for it. You know, they're all used to, over the years, you have your 5 offensive linemen. Let's say you have a tight end and a fullback. So they got 7 guys blocking. Okay, you put the 8th defender down. Everybody has a gap, and you have 1 extra guy who's unblocked. He makes the tackle a lot. You're in good shape. Well, when the quarterback is part of the run game, even if they're not carrying the ball, you no longer have that number count advantage. I mean, you gotta put that extra guy in the box just to be even. And even when you do that, you're man-to-man on the receivers. And I mean, you're in a bad spot, really bad spot, It's very, very difficult to defend quarterback-centric run games. And then if the quarterback's going to be hitting the throws against man-to-man coverage like Lamar had, it's over. It's a wrap, bro. It's impossible to defend.
Ross Tucker is our guest this morning here on the show on CBS Sports Radio. So the flip side of that equation is if the Ravens are the best team in football, that means the Patriots are not. And the Patriots yesterday, again, offensively, really struggled, needed Edelman to throw that option to get that touchdown to go ahead. Does the offense of the Patriots worry you going into January?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You'll appreciate this. So I do Eagles pregame, and we actually talked to Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, who covers the Patriots. And I said, Ben, how good are the Patriots? And this it was the funniest comment I've ever heard. He's like, well, they've got some real concerns along the offensive line and at receiver. They're clearly not as good as they've been. But I think they're still good enough to win the Super Bowl. Like, and he's right. He's right. Like, it's the funniest comment I've ever heard where he's actually 1,000% factually correct. It's the worst offensive line Brady's had. The only receiver he trusts at all is Edelman, maybe a little bit Ben Watson. They can't run the ball. He's constantly under duress, just throwing it away. I mean, Brady, who's the best I've ever seen at avoiding sacks, leads the NFL in intentional grounding. It's insane. And yet, I don't think any of us would be surprised if they won the Super Bowl this year. I mean, think about that.
I would
usually,
be.
Usually, like, when teams win the Super Bowl, it's their best team ever. They've got no weakness. For the Patriots, it's like, yeah, they're not as good as last year. They got some major concerns, but they're probably still good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I would be surprised if this team won the Super Bowl because you have to still win three playoff games. And the AFC's down, but I would imagine they have to go through the Ravens again. Maybe they have to go through the Chiefs. And then in the Super Bowl, you know, you're talking about one of three or four, if not six, really good NFC teams. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised. I know the Patriots are six-time champion, so we've seen the scene before, but if this is by far their worst Super Bowl caliber team of this era, it would be kind of surprising if they did it again with this team, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it's kind of surprising anytime they win it back-to-back. So it would be kind of surprising if they were able to do it. But at this point, DA, I'm done being surprised when they win Super Bowls or go to them. I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't think they'd beat the Chiefs last year in the AFC Championship game, and they did. There have been other years where I didn't think this was their year. And by the time January comes around, it seems like they're playing home playoff games, and they find a way to, you know, remember that year against the Ravens when all of a sudden they had, like, their offensive tackles were split out wide and, like, their tight ends were
sure.
I mean, like, they somehow come up with something. It's even like the Edelman thing yesterday, right? Like, they weren't even better than the Eagles yesterday. But then when it came down to it, and they're like, all right, we're never going to score a touchdown doing our regular stuff. Let's do the Edelman touchdown throw. They needed it, had to have it, they got it. It's uncanny how often they do that.
Well, that is true. I guess surprise is a relative word because you wouldn't be nearly as surprised as seeing the Patriots win a Super Bowl as, say, Mitch Trubisky turning into a decent quarterback. And so last night, when we see him get pulled at the end of the game, are you buying what the Bears are selling, that was injury, that it had to do with an injury to the hip?
I am buying that they're selling. I am buying that they're selling that the hip was part of it. Look, was he 100%? Maybe not, right? But how many guys out there are 100%? I remember thinking, you know, when I was playing, you know, if you're in November and you're 100%, what the heck have you been doing? You know, it's like kind of hard to be 100%. You know, that injury happened in the second quarter. The first drive, DA, of the third quarter, they marched for a 12-play touchdown drive. Mm. Okay, his hip looked okay to me. Now, maybe it was bruised. Maybe it got a little tight on him. But I think they're probably trying to figure out a way to defuse the situation. They're trying to protect him, and they're trying to protect the decision-making process such that it's not just we're going to play Chase Daniel over Mitch Trubisky. It is, well, Trubisky's, you know, hips, he's still not 100%. But that 100% standard's high. Like, Cam Newton's not 100%. But I think he probably could have come back and played this year and probably could even be playing now. But the Panthers are like, yeah, we'll just say he has to be 100%, and he's not 100%.
Mm-hmm. Ross Tucker joining us this morning on the show. I think your read is absolutely right, because if Mitchell Trubisky went down the field and scored another touchdown, he's not getting yanked out of the game whether his hip feels good or not. And that's why, don't you think that Nagy might have created more problems than he had to by pulling him in the middle of that game or at the end of that game, and now makes it a thing? I mean, he could have gone into this week and said, well, it turns out he has a hip pointer. But now everybody is talking about how he got yanked out of that game, and doesn't that create more discussion over the next 7 days?
Well, what's weird is they're down 10 with like 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Like,
right.
Chase Daniel's not
right.
Not leading you to a win there, bro. You know what I mean? Like, and I like Matt Nagy. I think he's a better coach than he gets credit for. I mean, the guy won 12 games last year with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. But I thought it was a strange time to put Chase Daniel in the game. Do it earlier when there's a legitimate chance, or do it not at all if you're really benching or pulling Trubisky. If it really is a hip thing, then okay, I guess I'll allow it. But it was a weird time and certainly brings up a lot more questions. You're right.
Colin Kaepernick's situation, how did you walk away from this weekend feeling about how it went down?
Really disappointed. I don't know about the waiver. I've seen some lawyers say the waiver was fine. I've seen other lawyers say you should never sign that. I guess here would be my point, DA. And I won't even say what Kaepernick should or should not have done. I'm just going to tell you what I would have done, right? Like, if my top priority was to play again in the NFL, number one, I don't think I would have asked for them to do it a later date, but that's fine. He ended up showing up for it. But I am working out in front of those 25 teams at the NFL-sanctioned workout, and I'm signing the waiver. Look, they didn't – I got advice from people not to sign a waiver with the Falcons in 07 on my free agent visit when they wanted a waiver on my back, which, because I'd already had a back surgery in Buffalo, it would have waived all of my rights to any compensation, workman's comp, anything, if I re-injured my back. But I was still going to do it because I really wanted to play, and that was my opportunity at the time. So to do what he did, to not sign the waiver, to leave, and then afterwards to say to the owners and Roger Goodell, stop running from the truth. Like, if you really, really want to play, and that's priority one, that's definitely not what you say. And maybe he's right. And maybe they are afraid of the truth or whatever. Maybe he's right. But that's not what you say if it's really, really important to you to get signed. You say, I'm ready for the opportunity. I'm ready to go over the NFL teams. That other stuff's behind me. But he won't do it. And that's fine. I think he wants to play. I think it's pretty clear that it's not his top priority.
Mm. Ross Tucker joining us this morning on the show. Holidays are coming up. Gift giving is in everybody's mind, and myfrontpagestory.com could be a good place for people to go, right?
I told you about this before. By far the best gift out there. There's nothing close to it. You talk to a reporter, a writer for 10 minutes about your wife or fiance or mom or dad, whoever. They write the most unbelievable story about that person, send it to you framed. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper, and your wife or your mom, they will bawl. I got one for my mom when she turned 70. She cried. We got one for my wife's grandmother. She cried. I'm just telling you, if you don't know what to get, myfrontpagestory.com. Guarantee whoever you get it for says it's the best gift they ever got. Myfrontpagestory.com. Guarantee it or you get DA's money back.
I love it. Ross Tucker is the host of his new show, Home and Home, on radio.com. Check it out on the radio.com app as well. Ross, always good to catch up. My man, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Okay. See you, man. Ross Tucker joining us this morning here on the show. Good stuff. Really good stuff. I think the Trubisky thing was such a strategic misfire by Matt Nagy. I think it makes that organization look like a clown show. The timing of this couldn't be more suspect. This past week, the Chicago Tribune did a deep dive with tons of anonymous sources, people inside that building, people outside of that building, on the assessment process of Trubisky, them moving up to two, Ryan Pace saying we're going to move up to two because we can't lose this kid, in the same draft that the Texans and the Chiefs were as convicted on their guys, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And it brought into focus all these questionable decision-making processes that the Bears went through to get to Trubisky. And the column came down to saying a lot of people inside that organization are worried that mentally Trubisky's lost it. He's lost the confidence and swagger that's going to allow him to ever get back, or at least certainly for now. He comes out yet another dog food performance. As I've said before on the airwaves, I think he's unplayable. And once again, he showed he was unplayable last night. And instead of just eating a 17-7 loss, eating it and then assessing in this week whether it's time to go to Chase Daniel, instead, they made it a thing with 3 minutes to play, down 10 when the game is over. Now you're yanking Trubisky on national TV, and Michaels and Collinsworth is like, wow. You do it publicly so that everybody sees it. Now everybody has to conjecture on it. And Trubisky looks like he ran over his dog, and he's standing there on the sidelines basically crying. He goes into the press conference and has to basically not look at the reporters because he's looking down in his notes that he's going to stick to the script. I was hurt. It was the hip. I wanted to play, but it was the hip. When in reality, that hip wasn't bad enough for anybody to have known he was injured. So you could have just let Trubisky have his one final, of course, disastrous drive. They go three and out and punt or whatever. Game is over. And then quietly during the week, you can get your game plan together. And you would have not humiliated Trubisky in the process of doing it, because now there is a shot on camera of him looking like he's going to cry. You know, it wasn't devastating enough to not allow him to play the final drive. Had he been playing well, clearly he was going to still play. And now you've created all of this. I think it's such nonsense for Matt Nagy. Just more nonsense. When we come back, in that division, angry Ned Flanders has it cooking. Can we trust him yet? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.